The following is a recording of a live Twitter space.
Welcome to the weekly space from Ukraine Defense Support!
Slava Ukraini!
Hello, Dobry Vecher, and welcome to the Ukraine Defense Support Space. UDS is a Seattle-based nonprofit 501c3 dedicated to empowering individuals to help Ukraine from anywhere. I'm your host, Fluffy the Fierce, and today is Tuesday, June 18th, the 846th day of Ukraine's defense against Russia's full-scale invasion. If you would like to get more involved with our organization, we have a weekly in-person meeting every Thursday, 7 p.m. at European Foods in North Seattle. We also have a weekly Zoom call on Saturday morning, 10 a.m. Pacific Time in Ukrainian language, and 11 a.m. Pacific Time in English. For more information, please visit our website at ukrainedefensesupport.org. At UDS, we are committed to advocating for Ukraine. It is essential for everyone to please contact your legislators and tell them how vital it is for increased support to Ukraine. Today, we are kicking off the creation of our weekly space with Carl Larson, co-founder and president of UDS. He is a lifelong Seattleite and a U.S. Army Iraq War veteran who served in the International Legion in Ukraine in 2022. Welcome, Carl.
But thank you for joining. We're going to make this a weekly occurrence. We want to fill in the gaps in knowledge that other news outlets are not reporting on, and we want to provide this as a resource to people who are working on the pro-Ukraine activism and advocacy world all around the world. And we want to expand this, and eventually our plan is to do this also in the Ukrainian language, German, French, Spanish. Maybe we'll even put out some pro-Ukraine truths in the Russian language. Who knows? We'll talk about that. But for now, we're doing this in English every Tuesday at this time, and really appreciate Fluffy here for kicking this off. So appreciate everyone's patience. With that, Fluffy, did you want to cover off on any admin updates or anything that I left out, or would you like me to go into today's topic?
No, you can go ahead and start us off into whatever topics. Say, I figure you're gonna cover your a little bit of your history and why you founded the UDS to begin with, and just give everybody a bit of a background on to what Ukraine Defense Support is all about. Put up in the nest the main tweet that we have posted on our website on our. On our Twitter page about our weekly Thursday meetings and a little bit about who we are.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's a good reminder. Okay. I just invited just about everybody on the call that I recognize. No, everybody on the call I invited as a speaker. If you guys didn't get that, let me know. And it's a good reminder. Thank you for bringing that up, Fluffy. So everybody on the call should be aware that we have a regular Ukraine Defense Support in-person meeting and Zoom call. So it's a hybrid meeting every Thursday, 7 p.m. Pacific time, 10 p.m. Eastern time. I know it's pretty late on the East Coast. My apologies. And there is an open Zoom call, actually two open Zoom calls per week. The English language, actually the Ukrainian language one is first. That's at 10 a.m. Seattle time. 1 p.m. Eastern time, and then that's followed immediately by the English language open Zoom call, which is 11 a.m. Seattle time, 2 p.m. Eastern time. So that's every Saturday. And so if you bump into somebody on the street who says they want to get involved with Ukraine, if they're a stranger, invite them to the open Zoom call, because anyone can join that. If there's somebody that you think is pretty trustworthy, then invite them to our Thursday call. We do like to have people kind of vouched for before we give them the Zoom link for our Thursday call. But yeah, we should definitely promote those two events on all of these Twitter spaces every week for any new faces. the goal is, of course, to get as many folks on this this Twitter space as possible, so that we can provide ways for people to get involved and help Ukraine. And so that ties into today's topic, which is why myself, and I wish I could say I was the only person who started Ukraine Defense Support, but no, that, I'm a co-founder. There was a number of people involved at the beginning. But why we started Ukraine Defense Support was to, of course, help Ukraine win the war and to defend freedom, because we all firmly believe that the Ukrainians are fighting not just for Ukrainian freedom, but for the freedom and security of democracies around the world. Most notably, they're, you know, in Eastern Europe, Poland, the Baltics, Latvia, Lithuania, Estonia, Finland. They all have very, very strong and painful memories of what the beast from the East did to their grandparents not too long ago, right? Imagine if your grandparents had been treated like the Russians treated the people in those countries and you know, starved to death millions of your family members. I mean, I'm not your family, but starved to death family members, your family members and millions of your citizens, your fellow citizens. You know, you'd have pretty strong memories, you'd have pretty strong feelings. But it's not just them. You know, Taiwan has a real stake in this game as well. And you know, if China invades Taiwan, that means that the US will spend trillions of dollars. The worldwide economy will go completely, it'll be a huge depression, and thousands of American sailors will end up at the bottom of the South Chinese Sea. So I'll repeat that. If China invades Taiwan, the worldwide economy will be destroyed, the US will spend trillions of dollars, and thousands of American lives will be lost. Thousands of American sailors will end up at the bottom of the South Chinese Sea. And that's just a fact. Like, everyone knows that's what would happen if China invaded Taiwan. And I think that it's pretty obvious that China is watching very closely what happens in Ukraine. And if Russia gets away with it, well, then China may quite possibly conclude that they can get away with it too. And Iran may decide to get more spicy in their neighborhood. Same for Hamas, same for North Korea, same for any Venezuela, same for any dictatorship, aggressive, authoritarian country in the world that would like its neighbor's land, you know, and to enslave its neighbor's citizens. So,
I just had a quick note real fast. If everybody could retweet the space also real fast. There's a little the little speech icon down in the bottom, little purple pill they call it. Says a little one byte right now. If you click on that, it'll bring up the actual tweet for the space. If you could like and retweet it, we can get the word spread out and give a comment on it and such there too. We can get more people in here. Thank you.
Good point. So the purple pill, I'm looking for that right now.
It's where you made your comment a little bit ago earlier. It's the little comment section down in the bottom right-hand corner of the screen if you're on a
I think it's, cell phone. It shows that on a cell phone. I'm on my laptop, so it just shows it as a little chat icon. So here it is, and I am about to repost. It says repost. They've changed it from retweet. Oh, funny. I'm sure soon it'll say to re-exit, like X to X something. Oh, my God. And then people are going to think it means exit. Oh, good Lord. Musk, what were you thinking? Oh, God. Anyway, join our UDS Twitter Spaces show happening now. Okay. Great. Okay. Yeah. Please re-share, re-post, re-X, whatever it. So, getting back to Taiwan, this Taiwanese connection is so important and so key to our explaining why this issue matters, why Ukraine matters to Americans. it's so key that my my PR agent actually wants me to create a whole new pitch topic, like a with many talking points and researched resources on this topic, because it's she's right, it is very important. If Russia conquers Ukraine, it will have terrible effects for Americans, but it's not going to lead probably immediately directly to lost American lives. Long term, it certainly could. But if China invades Taiwan, I mean, yeah, it would be catastrophic. And so this is a really important connection that we need to explain to Americans in a mass communication way. So that explains a little bit more about why we founded Ukraine Defense Support. It's because we feel that UDS is, we feel that the war in Ukraine has a huge impact on the world and frankly on America and on Americans' national security. And so when we started UDS in August of 2022, it was started within 2 weeks of my returning from my service as a soldier in the International Legion within Ukraine. I was in Ukraine for 6 months. I served as a member of the International Legion for 4.5 months, and I was at the front lines for 2 months east of Kharkiv. Beautiful, beautiful city. I have many fond memories of it, and it just pains me to think about what it's going through right now with these just evil, evil orcs pounding the infrastructure to make it as unlivable and uninhabitable as possible, so that they can come in and try to scoop up the remains and enslave the people and put the remaining population under the Russian boot. It's just disgusting. It makes me want to throw up when I think about that very proud historic town with a lot of brave people in it having to face these monsters bombing their electrical plants and their schools. It's horrible. So when I returned to the United States after that 6 months, I was determined to continue helping the Ukrainians. I set down my rifle, but I like to think I'm still in the fight. Might be fighting with a computer and my voice and my wallet and my time instead of with a rifle, but still fighting. And so myself and a few others, there's about four of us in the core group there, started meeting every week in a, where do we meet first? First we met in a, we tried meeting in a library, and then we met in a bar called St. George's in Roosevelt, Seattle. We'd meet in the patio cause it was pretty nice in August. And we met every week, and every week, you know, we'd get, you know, we'd have 3 to 4 people show up, and it was intensely frustrating to me, because coming from the environment where everyone in the entire country, every Ukrainian is very, very, you know, patriotic and very committed to the war's success. And then coming back here where people are like, "What? Ukraine, where's that? Is something going on over there?" And all during our meetings, people would come out on the patio to smoke or to play darts or whatever. And they'd be like, "Oh, what are you guys doing? Oh, Ukraine. Oh, is that a thing? I don't know." It was just intensely distressing to me. And now, I'm glad that we've built the group up into a really large group. We've got 400 people in our mailing list, probably more by now, actually. We've got, you know, over 60 active volunteers. We've got 18 leaders in the group. We're a 501c3. We've raised just almost $500,000, over $500,000 worth of equipment, actually. You know, we've done a lot of really, really amazing things. But yeah, very humble beginnings, I will say. It was very frustrating there for the first month until things started really taking off. But yeah, so we started the group in August of 2022. And there's a lot of groups all around the country and all around the world helping Ukraine, including some really large groups that are, you know, get government funding and are working on some really large scale projects to help Ukraine. And so what we tried to do is identify what we can do that these big boys are not doing. And so right away, we noticed a few things. We noticed that most of these this huge constellation of thousands of pro-Ukraine groups around the country the vast majority of them are not coordinating with each other and not even talking to each other. And they're all working individually and, you know, working hard and doing good work, but not really coordinating. And so we started to identify opportunities to coordinate between groups and to, improve efficiencies and remove duplications and things like that. So we've done a lot of work there, connecting groups. We've got many files with large numbers of groups that we're sending information with or trying to help groups with. And by the way, if you know of any groups helping Ukraine where the leaders are interested in collaboration, and that's a key thing there, if they're interested in collaboration with other groups doing the same, feel free to put them in touch. We do have a it's not a secret group, but it's an exclusive group, I guess you'd say, called the Ukraine Logistics Network. And we meet every week and we on Zoom, and we have a couple signal chats, and we share a lot of information about fundraising and where to buy the best equipment and what's the latest situation at the border getting equipment imported from Poland into Ukraine, and what's the best shipping process for shipping via sea and versus via airlink and blah blah blah. So if you know leaders of groups that might be interested in joining that, then let me know and we'll try to include them if they seem like a good fit. Sorry, give me just a moment here. Someone's trying to call me.
If anybody is actually requesting to speak, could you message me in the background on the DMs? Because I've sent out a few requests and I'm not seeing any invitations, and I'm not seeing anybody actually responding to their requests. So I don't know if there's a technical issue there, but just let me know if anybody is trying to request to speak, or if you're seeing my invitations. Thank you.
Yeah, good point, Fluffy. I invited.
Yeah, I've sent out a number of invitations to people too, so I'm not sure what's going on.
Yeah, weird. Can you guys? Oh boy, can you guys make a thumbs up or two just to mention if you can hear Fluffy and myself? Make sure that I'm not broadcasting into the void here. I assume you can, since he can hear me, but let's just make sure. No thumbs up.
Oh boy. Right. Well,
why don't you ask them to make a thumbs up for you and make sure you.
Everybody's hearing us okay, right? Okay, yeah, I'm seeing thumbs up. Okay, good.
Where all right. Thumbs up? I don't see the.
You're not seeing anybody? Yeah, no, right on their icons. Yeah, I'm seeing a bunch of thumbs up. People are. Oh, there we go. I'm just getting a request.
Okay.
I
approved it. I approved
request. It. Okay.
So
let's see. So Captain Buttfly, are you you should have been. Oh, are you?
Oh,
let's see. Let's get you back up there.
There's the thumbs up. I was in the wrong view.
Okay.
I was in the chat view instead of the. Oh God, how annoying.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Carl, if you can hear me, this is Jason. There is a request button on the main page too that I pressed, and it led me through a couple of prompts to get permissions and turn my mic on, and then I was speaking. So I just want to let you know about that. I'll mute myself now.
Okay, thanks, Jason. Yeah, hope everybody.
Yeah. Are you on a lap? Are you on a computer? Or are you on your phone, Jason?
I'm on my phone.
Okay, that's okay. Well, glad to have you up on the panel then.
Okay, well, glad. Yeah, thank you for joining us, Jason. Actually, do you want to talk for just a minute, man? I have to make a signal introduction on something kind of critical here for just a minute.
Sure. You may or may not know that Ukraine Defense Support does have a celebrity outreach group. We've got a couple of interns that are working on it, and they're doing a yeoman's job of, trying to contact celebrities and influencers so that we can get more attention to our group, and by extension, supporting the war. Advocacy is a big part of that. Asking for alms, as I like to use it in the old definition of money donated to help those who are less fortunate. Those are, kind of the things that we want to stress, so that hopefully we can get life-saving, literally life-saving equipment to the men and women who are on the front.
Yeah, and sorry, I'm just about done. I'm making an intro of some people in Ukraine right now who need to meet. This is kind of time sensitive.
No problem. We had a pretty nice victory. We were able to table at Nico Case's concert when she was here in Edmonds, and she posted about our group on her Instagram page, which was really nice. And I've reached out to Duff McKagan, or Duff McKagan's wife. They're Seattle residents, and hopefully we'll hear something back from them. So it's a good work. It's a lot of repetition, I gotta say, but when we're able to break through and get a victory, it feels really, really, really good. Anyone else who'd like to talk, I'll cede my time.
Okay, so just finished that introduction. Thanks for your patience, guys. And thank you, Jason, for mentioning our celebrity outreach, influencer outreach program, one of many programs that we have, and a great example leading into my next topic, which is what UDS does differently than any other pro-Ukraine group, I should say. And by the way, if anybody would like to share anything, feel free to jump in and request to speak, and myself or Fluffy will approve you to speak. I think I'm watching the right screen now, so we should be able to spot any raised hands or anything else. Speaking of raised hands, I do see Fluffy. It looks like you have raised the UDS hand. For the main UDS account, is that correct?
Oh, I did earlier, but that should have gone down. I don't know why you're seeing it right now.
Well, no biggie, that's fine. I'm just making sure you weren't waiting. Okay, so what do we do that almost no other pro-Ukraine group in the world does? I've never found another pro-Ukraine group that does this. And so what we do that's different is we find, empower, and assist volunteers to get involved helping Ukraine from anywhere. So, and that's actually in our mission statement, and it's our group's official motto. Our official motto is empowering individuals to help Ukraine from anywhere. It's right there at the top of the homepage of our website. It's on all our brochures. It's on all of our promotional materials. And that's what we want to do, is we want to get Ukraine as many active participating allies around the world as possible. We think that anybody who cares about freedom and democracy anywhere in the world should be able to help Ukraine. Shouldn't matter their location, shouldn't matter their language. It certainly shouldn't matter their bank account, right? And so while we, of course, accept donations and we think we put them to pretty good use, every group accepts donations. So that's not different. That's not a unique value proposition, as we'd say. So what we do that no other group, to my knowledge, does, no other pro-Ukraine group, is we help people get involved. Okay, so what does that mean? How do we help people get involved? So the overall goal of Ukraine Defense Support is to help Ukraine win the war, defend their sovereignty and way of life and culture, and to protect the country from ongoing threats of domination, presumably from Russia in the future. So we have to think long term here. After Ukraine wins the war and expels the last orc boot from Ukrainian territory, after that, you know, Russia is still going to be their neighbor, and probably is going to have nasty plans for all of its neighbors, but especially Ukraine, for a long time in the future. Even long after Putin is dead and buried, his replacements are probably also going to have nasty plans for Ukraine. And so the long-term strategy has to be to protect and defend Ukraine long-term from any threats from their nasty beast from the east neighbor. So how do we do that? How do we help secure Ukraine's victory and protect their freedom ongoing? It's a difficult job, right? I mean, helping a country on the other side of the world that's in the middle of a full-scale war is difficult. It can seem like an insurmountable obstacle if you just look at it on its face. You know, most people are not willing to do what I did and fly over there and pick up a gun and sit at the front lines for months, getting bombed and shot at and, you know, blown up and, you know, driving over mines and you know, having all these horrible things happen to them. And rightfully so. So what can volunteers in other countries do? So what we did is we broke down the big picture ways to help Ukraine's victory into three methods of support. So the first method is advocating to the United States government. So we live in America, so we advocate to the U.S. government, but of course this is applicable to anyone living anywhere in the world, and we actually have efforts working with Germans and French people and Luxembourgish people. The Luxembourgans are amazing, incredible. And then the Baltic people, they're the Estonians and Latvians and Lithuanians and Poles, they're working pretty hard on this. But primarily here in the United States, we work on advocating to the U.S. government for better support for Ukraine. So that's a huge, huge potential way to help Ukraine win the war. The second way that we support Ukraine is directly providing non-lethal military equipment to the Ukrainian armed forces. And so, sorry, let me shut my window here. There's some dogs going crazy. Must be a raccoon or something. So, so the second way that we help Ukraine win the war is by providing equipment to the Ukrainian military. Now, I want to make sure that and state for the record, this is non-lethal equipment. We do not provide any weapons. We don't provide them. We don't transport them. We don't do anything with weapons. But we do provide a lot of night vision, a lot of drones, a lot of anti-drone equipment, medical supplies, what else? Clothing, uniforms, boots, winter clothing, sleeping bags. Oh, just a huge laundry list of the items needed to win and to fight and win a war. Sorry, I'm just taking a note here. We've got some people contacting me. All right. So we provide a lot of equipment to help Ukraine win the war. We've raised well over $1 million worth of worth of equipment, well over $1 million worth of money plus equipment. As far as actual cash that we've raised, it's over 400,000 that we've accounted for. But the total, if you add all the donated equipment, is well over $500,000. And I'm very proud of that. And that's you can say with some certainty that the help that we've provided has helped save Ukrainian soldiers' lives. I've been told by several soldiers that some of the equipment we provided has saved their lives. Specifically, some of the anti-drone equipment that we provided has saved soldiers' lives. But all of the equipment's very helpful. I just had a Luxembourgish soldier tell me the other day that the night vision we provided not only saved his life, but he when he went off rotation, he handed it off to a Brazilian soldier in his unit who told him through Google Translate that it saved him his life as well, because the orcs were trying to infiltrate their trench and they saw him in advance with this night vision. So I'm very proud of that. That's making a direct battlefield impact. And then the third way that we're helping Ukraine win the war is by raising the awareness of the average American. And that's, mass communicating like we're doing right now, raising awareness of the average American about why this matters to Americans. I mean, it needs to be sold. It needs to be explained to the average American, because the average American, who's not of Ukrainian descent, who's never been to Europe, doesn't plan to go, he or she is probably more worried about gas prices and, the southern border and, crime and what's going on in their kids' school and, what the price of groceries and all these sort of things. They're probably a lot more concerned with that than they are with what's going on the other side of the world. The analogy I typically try to use is I compare the situation with Ukraine in 2024 to the situation with Great Britain in 1941, because World War II started in 1939 officially, right, when Hitler invaded Poland, or I should say Hitler and Russia invaded Poland. So then 2 years later, well, Britain was still at war, but man, things were not going well for Britain in 1941. They didn't go well for Britain until December 7th, right? Pearl Harbor was the reason that World War II was won. If Pearl Harbor hadn't happened, oh man, probably we'd all be speaking German right now, or be dead. A lot of our Jewish friends would be dead. A lot of our African-American friends would be dead. I mean, the world would be a very different place, and not in a good way. So it's very good that America got into the war in December of 1941. But before that, Britain stood alone, just like Ukraine stands alone. And, it was a really tough time for Britain. They almost made peace, actually. They don't talk about it much, but they almost basically surrendered to the Nazis in 1940, and then again in 1941, and thank God they had Winston Churchill there. Thank God that Ukraine has Zelensky there, right? Imagine if they had a weaker prime minister in Ukraine who took Biden's offer of escape. I mean, you have to think it must be awfully tempting. There's been over a dozen documented assassination attempts on Zelensky, and there's probably many more that we don't know about. He could be killed at any time. He and his wife, I believe they have kids. What about his extended family? Are they safe? No. I mean, he must live like a caged animal. It must be really horrific living in Kyiv. I mean, when he goes outside of the country, he's probably a little safer, but he could be assassinated anywhere at any time. And so we all owe him a huge debt and a lot of respect for doing the right thing and staying in the country under risk, instead of doing the easy thing and fleeing like he has been offered by many, many countries, not just the United States, fleeing to safety. So I think it's a very good comparison comparing England in 1941 to Ukraine in 2024, because in both cases, the war has been raging for 2 years. In both cases, you have one country standing alone against the forces of evil. And you have a lot of other countries that are kind of helping a little bit. You know, I mean, yeah, sure, we send a lot of equipment. I mean, we're so proud of the equipment that we've sent and the billions of dollars we've spent on Ukraine. I mean, it's just such a drop in the bucket. It's pathetic. It's just really sad. I would really love to see an economic comparison of the support we gave to England in 1940, 1941 to Ukraine. I'm willing to bet we gave a lot more support in World War II than we did now. Shoot, I saw a pop-up. Somebody wanted to speak, and now it's gone. Did somebody want to speak? I don't know what.
Oh, sorry, that was me reconnecting my other account. It's okay.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, anyway, so I think it's a really important and helpful analogy to compare what's going on in Ukraine right now to what happened in England, or excuse me, in Europe in 1941. You know, in both cases, one country stands alone. And fortunately for history, for all of us, there's a strong, brave man at the helm who is not going to take the easy road, and he's going to stand up for, frankly, all of us. And we all owe, you know, Zelensky a huge debt, just like we all owed Churchill a huge debt for not taking the easy route. So the problem is communicating that. How do we get that message out to, 360 million Americans? It's not easy. America is a country of distractions. We live in the golden age of content. And there is always some form of entertainment that is more interesting than paying attention to what's going on the other side of the world. So how do we break through that? We have to think about this. We need to work harder and smarter to break through the noise and reach the average American and the more involved American. We need to think about the messaging that would work for people who are either very familiar with the Ukraine conflict, who are already involved in advocacy and in activism. So that's one message, one type of messaging for those sorts of people. Let's say people who are already involved in environmental activism, right? So we would have one message for those folks, or people who are world travelers and they're very familiar with international situation. That would be one message. And then we need to have another message for people who are involved with their local or state politics, you know, people who care passionately one way or another about national politics. They might be involved in the Republican or the Democratic Party. We'll have to have messages for those folks. And obviously, it's going to have to be different depending on if they're a Republican or if they're a Democrat, right? I just saw a really, really great article the other day. I forwarded it to Catherine and Jim about how to explain the importance of Ukraine to MAGA Republicans. It was a really good article. I'd strongly recommend it. Actually, I need to tweet that. I'm going to make a note to tweet that. Yeah, I'll try to tweet that after this call. But so then we need to have a very different message just for your average person who doesn't really have any knowledge of Ukraine and probably doesn't care. We need to explain it to them so that they will care in the language that that they would understand and that they would appreciate, and doesn't talk down to them because they're not as familiar with international relations as, you know, some of us might be. So we have to work harder and smarter on that. All right, so that's basically how Ukraine Defense Support was started and what are our main strategies for victory. We lay all this out on the website. You can go to our About Us page and you can see the team, you can see our strategies. And if you get involved, you'll see that we have a lot of different projects. We've got, you know, PR projects. As Jason mentioned, we have a celebrity outreach team that's working on getting the word out through the many hundreds of pro-Ukraine celebrities out there. And what else? We've got equipment purchasing projects. We've got fundraising projects. We've got tons of local events. My gosh, this weekend we've got a big garage sale. We're expecting to make quite a bit of money for equipment on, and we've got performances and films and just a ton of stuff going on. So that's basically that. I can continue to share more information about UDS. As you guys can probably guess, I can talk about UDS all day and all night. I do have in 10 minutes our weekly UDS leadership call is starting, so I'll have to jump off then. But before that, are there any questions on anything I shared, or anybody else who wants to share anything?
It's not seeming like anybody else is wanting to come up and talk. Otherwise, I'm just not seeing any other requests. It seems like it shouldn't be a problem to request to speak. Anybody wants to speak, I just dropped my other account and brought it back up with no problem. So I'm not seeing, I mean, if you're having any technical issues, please let me know. But it seems like nobody else is wanting to come up and say hi to us.
Yeah, and that's no problem. We're just getting these projects started. Just getting this project started, I should say. All right, and we're getting more people here, so that's great. I'm posting the link to that article, How to Convince MAGA Republicans to Support Ukraine. I'm going to post that. I can't sign into the UDS Twitter while I'm talking, while I'm on a space right now. So I'm going to post it on my personal Twitter page.
If you post it on your personal page, I can repost it up into the nest for everybody to be able to see it.
Perfect. And I'll tag UDS on it, UDS Seattle.
Perfect.
Okay. So, great article on how to convince MAGA Republicans to support Ukraine. Yeah, it's in a Ukrainian news outlet called Ukrainska Pravda. So it does say pravda.com.ua, which is a little surprising. I had not heard of that. I thought Pravda was a Russian outlet, but apparently there's a Ukrainian version. Pravda, of course, is truth in a lot of Slavic languages. I know it is in Russian. I don't know if it is in Ukrainian or not. But yeah, great article. Strongly recommend that. If anybody finds any similar articles or resources, please let us know. So when I join next week, what I'm going to cover off on is I'm going to list out common news sources that people can use to stay up to date on Ukraine. So I'll go through that, and then we will be posting the list of those news outlets on the UDS Twitter feed as a follow-up. So, and if anyone has any recommendations for any other topics, of course, let Fluffy or myself know, and we'll add that to the agenda. Great. Okay, were you able to retweet that that link that I posted there, Fluffy?
Yeah, it's up in the nest right now, right above where all our pictures are on the main page there. And I just had somebody request to speak again, and I brought them up, and now they've disappeared. Debbie, yeah, I approved your request to speak, and now you're back down a listener. I don't know if you want to try coming back up again. Okay, and Carl's been knocked back down to listener now, too. Okay, I don't know if that was a technical issue or not, but let's see. Okay, Carl, are you back?
Even on another Google tab, if you're in Twitter, don't hit refresh.
Gotcha. All right. That's something I'm not used to being on the... Okay, hey, Debbie, you're back up. Do you want to say hi?
Yes, I did. I have a question for you. There is a group of people that are out at the Capitol every single day. Have you guys made contact with them?
You mean the U.S. Capitol?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, they're members of our group. They're a lot of them. They're, okay. We work very closely with them, yeah.
Perfect. I just wanted to make sure you guys were in communication.
Oh, yeah, actually, thank you. Yeah, we're actually about to send them a bunch of brochures so they'll have something to hand out to people that they meet there. They've been holding that rally there since the beginning of the full-scale invasion. It's very, like,
absolutely. They're absolute troopers.
Yeah. Yeah, that group's led by, well, it's led by a gentleman that we have a lot of respect for. And so, yeah, if anybody's going to the White House or knows anybody, either going to the White House or to Congress, let us know and we'll make a connection. I mean, or you can just look it up on Facebook. They have the DC rally is the, there.
Their account is actually listening right now. So it's the Ukraine DC rally is on our call right now.
Oh, yeah, they're on Twitter. Oh, look at that. Good Lord. They got 6,000 followers, jerks. Let me, please, sir, can I have some followers?
That's part of why we're doing this, is to get you and the UDS more publicity and hopefully get more followers.
Right. Yep. Okay, great. Well, so I'm going to drop off, guys. I've got to prep for our leadership call here in 5 minutes, but it's been an honor to join, and I'll definitely join as often as I can. Certainly, I'll join next week for sure, and encourage more people to join and certainly support Fluffy here in growing this channel and this really amazing new method of reaching Americans. So let's all try to support as best we can. Anything remaining for me, Fluffy? Any last questions or anything?
No, not that I can think of. Just one comment that I did have about your how to reach MAGA Republicans and like that. I know that there's a whole article on the persecution of religious minorities, especially the evangelical Christians. And I know that there was a group or some people who are actually evangelicals, preachers that were in Ukraine that actually met with Speaker Johnson right before he switched over and actually approved this big $61 billion aid package last August, so or April, I should say. But so yeah, the persecution of a lot of the religious minorities is another good way to reach out to MAGA Republicans.
Very good point. Yeah. Actually, I've got a packet here. I've got a brochure that was put together that documents numerous instances of Russian just horrendous mistreatment and abuse and frankly murder and just desecration of religious organizations, churches, and religious leaders in Ukraine. Just horrendous. I think in one instance they used the basement of a church as a they stored girls there and did horrible things to them. It's just incredible. So
pretty much if you're not part of the Orthodox Russian Orthodox Church, then you're a foreign influencer and a spy.
Right. Yep. In their eyes. Yeah, exactly. That's true. Good. Okay. Well, I'm going to go back to being a listener here and get working on my agenda. Thank you for the invitation to join Fluffy. So.
Yes, indeed. And actually, I have some other things that I need to be doing. So if anybody wants to come up and talk to me for a little bit, you're welcome to do so. Otherwise, I'm going to be ending the space here in a couple minutes. So send me a request if you want to say hi or give your input onto anything that's been discussed here in the last hour or so. It's been a very successful space today. So give you a couple minutes to give me any feedback, anybody wants to say anything. There's, you said, Carl's article about that he posted about the MAGA Republicans is at the top of the nest, and then the second one over is information about Ukraine defense support and our weekly meetings. But I guess if we don't have anybody else wanting to say anything, I'm going to go ahead and hit end on the space. Thank you very much for joining us, and have a wonderful, wonderful week. And we'll see you back again next week, same time, same station. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks, Luffy.
Yep. Bye.
Heroim Slava. This has been a production of the Ukraine Defense Support Group. We are a nonprofit 501c3 dedicated to empowering individuals to help Ukraine from anywhere. For more information, please visit our website at www.ukrainedefensesupport.org.